It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying. There is no running, there is no hiding. There's only fighting or dying. It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying. There is no running, there is no hiding. There's only fighting or dying.
It's Going Down is a digital community center from anarchist, anti-fascist, autonomous, anti-capitalist, and anti-colonial movements. Our mission is to provide an autonomous and resilient platform to publicize and promote revolutionary theory and action.
Go to itsgoingdown.org for daily updates. Check out our online store for ways to donate and rate and follow us on iTunes if you like this podcast.
We come from many different strands, like version of anarchism, and we have many friends from like comrades from different organization, and also like both informal and also formal organization.
Well, just to start off, can you just tell us a little bit of the history, as you know it, of anarchism in Indonesia?
So, the history about anarchism in Indonesia, we're mostly come from like two different types. So, like one, when we are talking about like modern history, which means since 90s. So mostly we are come from punk, sort of, and many different sort of like underground lifestyle. And second, we come from mostly student, like which were involved in student movement. And in 90s, mostly student movement related to a big agenda, which is to topple the military dictatorship, in this case, Suharto regime. So we have this both like type of anarchists who later on unifying their effort to become like anarchist movement in Indonesia. But during the military, like 32 years of military dictatorship, we've been like, there's been a lot of effort to erase like social movement history from ordinary citizen or like from citizen, but in the recent year we've been digging more into our history and found out that anarchism in Indonesia has been quite old, and like has been here since early 19th century, or even like more old than that. So it's been brought here from several sources, mainly Dutch, because for hundreds of years Dutch been colonized Indonesia, and also it came from China, like because so many China migrants or migrate to Indonesia, especially in 19 something, and then yeah, we knew that in mainland, like China mainland, the China anarchist movement is very strong, and then they brought these ideas also into this archipelago. So like during the colonial era, mostly the anarchists mostly dealing with the issue of anti-colonization, and most of them are anarcho-syndicalists, and they are like doing making a lot of effort to organize workers in cities and also in villages. They are the backbone of the movement of Indonesia independence. But later on, this movement had been absorbed into one Indonesian Communist Party. And after that, it seems like there is a systematic effort from the party to purge such ideas. And then it gradually disappear from the political arena as a political force. And after the independence, most of the anarchists or like ex-anarchists, it seems like they are too fragmented or like not unified, and then they disappear, and then the Indonesian modern state started to begin its project. So, and then after a while, like two or like in 65, then we had this military coup d'etat, and then the military junta or dictatorship like they slaughter millions of communists and practically destroy the party. And then after that, for like 32 years, we heard nothing about anarchism, let alone they ban all the important political books, and then also practically ended the life of communism in Indonesia, which at the time it's the largest, fourth largest communist movement in the world.
Yeah, so we thought it started in after 1998, but eventually slowly we found out that it's already here even before the Indonesian independence. Yeah, so it was it influenced big names in Indonesia, and even some ministers, like ministers, and even Sukarno mentioned about anarchists, and that means that it was big before. Yeah, but then after the dictatorship of Suharto, it becomes it's extremely gone from everywhere. So yeah, that's how it is in Indonesia.
Well, let's now turn towards what happened on May Day specifically, and if now you can talk about just what happened on May Day in terms of, you know, just what anarchists did, and then in terms of the police repression.
Okay, so in May Days, there are students and even young people under 18 years old explode the demonstration together with the workers and the union, and the numbers are multiplying from year to year. So even the police said in an interview that it's growing bigger in numbers, and it started to spread in several cities in Indonesia. So basically, we are just celebrating our days. But then, anarchists do what anarchists do. So it offends the authority, and it offends the police. You can see in some medias that some comrades like yelling and kind of insulting the police and the authority, and they did it openly, and it's really an insult to the authority. So the police tried to silence them and scare them. So in one video footage, you can see that they in Bandung, like, our comrades did nothing harmful. They just rallying, and then the police tried to defy them and tried to beat them and just take them and shave their heads and beating them brutally. And that happens as well in Makassar. And in Makassar, they're really active, and and the authority want to scare them to not do that anymore, and thus now they're giving us a warning.
So like my comrades say that for years the anarchist movement has been growing, and then the number multiplying also. We are now hardly cannot calculate how many, because this is the a nation with so many, like, thousands of islands, and we live in so many different cities. So for May Day, it's actually like more like spontaneity and like not so much coordinating, except from like the each local or each cities with many different organization or movement. So maybe it's like more than dozen city that's happening in first of May. And for many years in Indonesia, it is the legacy of the military dictatorship to stigmatize the communist movement. And for us, as an anarchist, we don't obey that. And also, for them, it's anarchist is quite strange, because for many years, and like for recent years, the state only like knew that communists and also Islamist fundamentalists is their enemy. But since 1st of May this year, they declare that they facing new threat or like state enemy, and anarchism or like specifically anarcho-syndicalism, they said that it's become a state enemy. So the state will use their power. And also, like, as they mentioned in so many different mainstream national media in Indonesia, that they will cooperate with like the National Intelligence Agency and like also the army to stop the growing of anarchist movement, because they felt very threatening after seeing what we can do during 1st of May this year, and that we haven't shown any regret or scared. So if we can come back to the fact that so in Bandung, West Java, they arrested 619 people, and in that process, they beat them, they cut their hair, they make sure that they cannot get any rest during 24 hours, and open their handphone and like collecting many of people, get their things stolen and so on, and they been threatened that the police will come for them, like, and the police said that they already provide hundreds of investigators to pursue this case. And in another island in Makassar, they also after several hours after our friends do the demonstration, they've been the state have been kidnapped at least 12 people one by one, and the latest count is they already released 4 comrades, and still we got like 8 to 9 people still in their custody. And also in another city in Java, in Malang, they kidnap one of our friends, but he already been released after some lawyer and some friends came to the police station and asked police to release him. Also, this has happened. This demonstration happened in so many different, at more like 12 to 30 different cities. Also, in big cities, in small cities around Indonesia.
Are there any people that were arrested on May Day that are still in jail?
Yes, in Bandung, there are still 3 people, three comrades who will police state that. These people were the brain of the movement, and they will put them under the Destruction Act. So they will proceed with the law for these 3 comrades, and also in still in custody in police station, we got like in Makassar 9 comrades.
We also heard that there were people that were disappeared. Is that true, that they haven't been accounted for?
Yes. Actually, like in Makassar, the police, they always gave us different number of people. And around 2 days, we haven't got anything. So like when comrades got into the police station, the comrades is not there. So like but now it's more clear now. Finally comrades turn up into like this police station, but this practice is it's very dangerous for us or for democracy or like for our movement, because it means that the police can just pick up or like arrest us or like kidnap us anytime, anywhere they want. So this. They are like now is working above the law, which for us is we expected this to happen, but we never expected that this happened really soon.
I want to emphasize that we actually already expect this kind of thing. The black media campaign. And how the police will just declare openly that the anarchist is an enemy of the state. But it's really under our expectation. We don't know how this could happen so fast, because anarchism has just been discussed openly again in very recent years, after so many years being so dormant. So yeah, that's from me.
I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the different projects and groups that are happening in Indonesia. Earlier when we started, you mentioned that there are both formal and informal groups. I know that in the past there's been things from Food Not Bombs to info shops. Anarchists in the U.S. are aware that there's like an anarcho-syndicalist initiative to unionize or create some sort of defense, self-defense organization with Uber drivers. And I'm just curious if you can flesh out a little more, kind of like, what are anarchists in Indonesia organizing around? What are the different projects? And what does the activity kind of look like that you know of?
Okay, so yeah, it started in a modern after Reformation. It started in punk movement. It was very massive among the punks, among the music, young people in music scene, and it was heavily distributed. The ideas was heavily distributed in zines, in the form of zines, and it was important phase in within anarchist movement, and even until now, it was brought the messages brought and become very popular because it becomes the main idea in some music, hip hop music, punk music, and young people really attracted to this kind of idea because maybe this is their time. And through music, it really reached young people to participate in Food Not Bombs and really, really free market, and in very small collective distribution store that sells merchandise and clothes. And it really reached young people with that kind of movement. And it's also spreading within the student movement, in shape of discussion, and also like book reading group, and in student movement they mainly write and like review things like academically in an academic arena, and that's how it was started. And it's also started in a more formal group. Maybe my friend will add.
Yeah, in recent year we got like a formal many formal organization. We have so many different tendency. Started from I can mention the PPAS, which stand out for the Association for Anarcho-Syndicalist Movement and the Worker Solidarity. And they have formal anarcho-syndicalist way of movement, and they have like formal statuta and so on and so forth. Have a membership like from workers from many different backgrounds, and it's still spreading now. But we also got like so many different personality in many different union, like big union that already embrace anarchism. They may be only in the rank of file, or actually they are like the leader in some really, really big union. We are talking about like hundreds of thousands of members. Yeah, we got this kind of people also. And in different arena, we got many comrades who try to set up cooperative store that without boss, without bosses. And this is also happening now in several cities. And there is the initiative also to form a network of cooperative mutual aid initiative, so they can sell or do exchange goods and then bypassing the bad market system. And we also got in several different cities formal anarchist association. For example, in Makassar, we got like the Perhimpunan Merdeka. We can translate it to the Freedom Association or something. And then, so mainly it gather young people, and this is more like the platformist tendency, like that link to the rest of the platformist tendency in the world. We got like quite massive also the insurrectionist tendency in here, and they have many different groups, and in recent year they've been doing many different form of action, started from the burning some ATM machine and like destroying many properties and so on. So in Indonesia right now, like we got so many different initiatives, so many different movements from many different tendencies, and it's like more like the social laboratory, and we still don't know where it will lead us, but it's really wonderful to see so many beautiful color, like thousands of color will blossom, and then we will see what will happen next.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely the photos from May Day were beautiful. Just, you know, so many people out on the streets with so many banners and flags. It was definitely something very inspiring.
Yo, Mike, yo, menghitung kawan yang bertahan dalam pertempuran. Perang yang personal tentang aksi kehidupan, apa kabar? Apakah kakimu telah berakar atau masihkah berkobar? Mengembara dan berlayar hari berganti, apakah mimpimu juga ikut berganti? Mencoba kompromi dengan belukar hidup yang teramat sulit untuk dimengerti, yang kerap kali melukai hati setiap pemimpi yang menjalani, yang girang menjajaki dan gigih melampaui setiap jurang dilewati, dengan tawa juga nyali, dengan musik dan imaji, berani menunda mati untuk penuhi amor fati. Gores pena, tuangkan gelisah, rayakan kesunyian jiwamu dengan mencipta. Memilih berbeda, memilah dunia, dan menolak tua meski umur telah senja. Apa yang kau harapkan perbenih yang kau tanamkan, meneruskan intensi atau melupakan potensi diri yang penuh ambisi, merakit luka dengan puisi, meramu kembali hidup yang terlewatkan dalam ilusi. Pada kawanku berbagi janji untuk mengalahkan hari dengan rokok juga kopi, dengan waras filosofi. Aku yang merapaki hari dengan pola para pejuang, menantang ketidakmungkinan dengan gaya menerjang. Kami membangkang di dalam arus keseragaman, hidup yang melebutkan kehendakku, jiwaku, ragaku, akalku, mimpiku, juga cintaku kepada semesta yang melahirkan diriku. Kami menari karena mabuk kesadaran dan memilih kegilaan sebagai makna kehidupan. Kebebasan ku aminkan dalam wujud keliaran. Kami rawat kewarasan dengan hasrat pembangkangan, dan ku rindukan persahabatan sebagai piranti pengusir kebosanan. Namun jarak membentang, maka ku sendiri yang mengembalikan tangan, jalani setiap sunyi kemuakan. Ku menari dalam kelam dunia ini kawan, merayakan hidup dengan hasrat pemberontakan, berjanji dalam hati.
One thing a friend of ours wanted to ask is, what is the relationship between anarchists in Indonesia and the indigenous people's struggle in West Papua New Guinea? Is there any connection or correspondence or any sort of relationship between the two movements?
For our understanding, as for now, like so many different, because we got like so many different students from Papua who studied in Indonesia, and they are also doing so many different type of political activity. And in these cities, our friend quite strong have a strong linkage with them in many different type of, you know, relation. But if we're talking about in Papua, we have actually several contacts. That's also through some former Papuan student in a different city in Java, and when they go back, they also spread the message. But as for now, like we don't have like real anarchist movement in Papua right now, but in many demonstration around Java, we really stand beside our Papuan friends. So like in many different cities, our friends really help Papuan students to either to protect them and also to demand the same, like, because we believe that Papua need to be given like democratic choice. Either they choose to stay with us, or like stay with the nation, or like leave the nation. It's basically it's up to them. So for our understanding that rights to determine their future is need to be given. I will add that in the indigenous movement, there is also many indigenous people in Indonesia, and the anarchists also have been working with them and like standing beside them in many different land grabbing and eviction. We got so many different conflict area now, and I can make sure that comrades, it's in conflict area and hand in hand with the indigenous people to protect their land.
I wanted to ask, you know, just the rate of the growth of anarchism in Indonesia. I know you touched on this a little bit, but what is it for young people, or, you know, young workers, or just people in general that are getting involved in anarchism in Indonesia? What do you think about it is attracting them to the movement?
So for so many years, activism in Indonesia been really stagnant. Like it's there, but it's not really actually doing anything. You know, like they too many elements are just trying to compromise, trying to play too safe, and thus not really doing any change. So maybe people and young people and us getting bored of this all, and the ideas of anarchism really touch us that and really gives us power to actually do things ourselves and not giving not letting anyone making decisions for us anymore. And I think it really resonates to so many people that's how it spreads really fast and really big in numbers. And even we don't really know exactly how big it is. And I think that's why. And in general, people are just bored with the this the old system. Like, we have to fight each other just to choose one person as a president. And in fact, after they become a president, we can do nothing about them. Yeah, we can influence their decision. We can influence anything. So this kind of idea really attracts so many people, and maybe because it's something new as well. It's something new as well, because it was dormant. Anarchism isn't really active after 2011, and after that, slowly writings appearing and anarchists holding discussion. Slowly they invite lots of people who can talk about anarchism in ecology, anarchism in education, anarchism in feminist movement. And maybe it helps lots of people to actually know that they can do something about themselves.
Yeah, just want to add around like what sort of people that in the anarchist movement right now. So we have and we attract so many young people, even like from junior high school. But in many different villages and conflict area, there is quite many older people that already embrace anarchism. I can give you an example that in East Java, for example, in the area that we call the mud disaster, around the Lapindo factory, there is one village that already like learn about anarchism, and they are even like the older people. They setting up the library. That this library is like the anarchist library, where everybody can give books and also lend or like borrow books from that library. And I also know like many former or like veteran activists from many generations now started to learn anarchism or anarchism. And this year, especially after this 1st of May, I'm sure like we already saw like so many people attracted to the idea, and like we have seen a spike on social media, on even like national newspaper already like promote anarchism through their reportage. So this is something really big for us.
Oh yeah, maybe, and also in Indonesia, maybe what attracts people more is it because we actually live the anarchist way even before Indonesian in revolution, Indonesian independence. So people are just bred naturally all over the island and just live in the communes, and they have their own, every commune have their own rules and traditional teaching, indigenous way of life. So when people talk about anarchism, usually people think about that era but emphasizing more in the consensus and voluntary principle of anarchism. Yeah, and because it's a flexible idea, so we can use it like a tool. We can use it according to what we want it. Depends on our situation. So, maybe that's what attracts more and more people to learn about anarchism and do it the anarchist way.
Another person was asking, what kinds of ways of communication do you have with anarchists in the U.S., and how could we improve communication between comrades in Indonesia and comrades in the United States?
As for now, as we are really liquid right now because it's just started, so we haven't had any formal institution to get in contact with comrades outside the countries. As we said before, that it happens really fast, and even we don't expect it this fast. But maybe in the future, we can have a more like formal platform to be in contact. Suto will add.
We knew many anarchist travelers from Europe, from America, from Australia, also while visiting Bali, they sometimes drop by to some collective. We also got many, books from them, but we still hoping that we can forge like really strong alliance with people in the U.S. We want to think, for example, for long term, for example, how we can, because we already published so many books, how we can save, for example, our books and archive them somewhere outside the country. For example, when we got maybe we not expected this, but in Indonesia we always in political arena, we always expected total annihilation, which, for example, for the communist movement, they destroy the like people, books, and also the knowledge. We also want to preserve our knowledge, and regarding this. Event or like related to 1st of May, we really hoping that our friend, our comrades in US can do some solidarity. For example, set up a demonstration or like doing something like really share this oppression that happening to us right now.
Well, I wanted to turn now. There's been calls for solidarity with comrades in Indonesia that are facing repression from May Day. Can you tell us what kind of solidarity or what forms of solidarity are you asking for those outside of Indonesia?
Okay, so mainly it's for... It's for the law. It's for the legal company. Like for the legal. For the legal assistance, because we don't have any. We don't have any, our own institution right now to take care of it. So most of all, actually rely to the paid legal assistance. So mostly it's for that, and also for to help comrades to leave the city. So, for example, like in some cities, some comrades ask us to pay for the train because mostly they are students, and we are not that rich. So maybe if there's some help that can be done from outside, it will be really helpful. Mostly for legal assistance and for evacuation, for the transportation.
I will add more. We also help. We also need like more like international eye watch. Because we expected that the kidnapping can or may continue, or like people will disappear and turn up somewhere. So we for sure that it's hard for me for us to admit that sometimes we rely on like the NGOs and like the journalists to for example to verify how many people who already missing, like, and we still don't know, but I think we really need like the international observer or something just to make sure that the people that already arrested or kidnapped, it's not gone forever. So it's really hard for us right now, because all the comrades now are running. We still like some of us already set up like 8 network. We already collected ourselves city per city money to help our comrades, and also already contacting any NGO to help us for like the legal assistance. But still, like if the situation gets worse, we really need like the international pressure to become the eye.
Okay, so legal assistance, is there a way that people can donate?
Yes, as for right now, there is some initiative. I'm sure from the insurrectionist tendency, they already set up their own crowd source in international level. In other front, the what they call more like platformist and the anarcho-syndicalist tendency, people who hear this can donate through our comrades bank account in Australia. We can send the detail. So like we already asked our friend from the International Working Association, which has their branch in Australia, to become the main or like the focus or like the the point for international friend or comrade to donate.
Great, yeah. And if you want to send us that link, we will post that in this interview to make sure that people can donate.
We are doing that because for us it make us easy. It will be easy also to monitor and like for the transparency. So we give this more like we lend our Australian comrades bank account.
Well, we've been talking for about an hour now. Is there anything that you want to say, or is there anything that you want to ask us in the United States, either in terms of the anarchist movement or how to support you all. Anything else that you want to say or that you want to talk about?
Okay, maybe me first. I want to ask, like, because we Indonesian government for since 9/11 already getting so much money for the terrorist prevention. How many comrades in U.S. that now know about, like, how many money from U.S. that been spent to our police, and then maybe people can expose this, or like that number also can help us. We can use this for propaganda and information to people.
Well, just to answer that, I would say in terms of the connection between the so-called war on terror and like the United States sending money to the Indonesian state to combat, you know, whatever, I would say no, that's not widely known at all. Most people are aware that, for instance, the United States sends money to like Mexico, which of course is right next to it. But in terms of Indonesia, I would say that's not on people's radar at all. In fact, one of the other questions that people wanted us to ask is if people were to engage in solidarity or, you know, hold demonstrations or protest, you know, besides embassies, what other forms of U.S. domination or just, you know, U.S. capital that's in Indonesia could people, you know, bring attention to? And obviously the United States is, you know, sending money for counterterrorism is definitely one of them.
Yeah, like this is need more research, of course. U.S. institution, like state institution, and also like big company already operate in Indonesia, started from the military coup. We have this problem also with report McMoran doing the dirty activities in Papua, and also in many different area in Indonesia. For example, they already separate our archipelago between their companies. You can find in internet like which area belong to the BP, which area belong to the China companies, which area belong to U.S. Oil company. That's also something that can be, you know, very useful. And also, there is also, you know, like big military sort of like contractor that, you know, like have been doing activities in here. We knew that especially the company that belonged to Donald Rumsfeld that have been operated and doing dirty work around Lapindo that created so a big disaster. You can find this by many digging Lapindo cases. And also, I think you can, if you can do research, you can find how strong the cooperation between the State Department or like the military institution to Indonesian government. Because every year or like every several years, there's already there's been like what you call the exercise, military exercise, like formally between Indonesia and U.S. So we have noticed that even the U.S. Marine already landed in Java in so many different occasions. So for it's there. You can just Google it. So yeah, because for many years, actually in Southeast Asia, Indonesia have been like the favorite children of U.S. U.S. domination. So it's not hard for us to see that there is really strong coordination and cooperation between both states.
Anything else you all want to say? Is there any websites that you want to plug in any groups at all? Anything else that we haven't covered yet that you want to talk about?
In internet, you can go to the either in Facebook or like in Instagram or social media. You can type the PPASGKT Jakarta. That's for the 100% Digitalist organization. You can also find resource in many different websites. But unfortunately, it's quite many, it's still in Bahasa. So, so it's maybe hard.
Awesome. Well, yeah, just know that there's a lot of people in the United States that saw everything that happened on May Day, both as very inspiring, but also, you know, very angry that so many comrades were arrested, you know, had their heads shaved, and that they're very worried about people that were disappeared or they haven't been found yet. They want to make sure that as much as possible pressure is put on the Indonesian state to know that there are comrades across the world that have your backs and that, you know, we're not going to allow this to happen without saying something about it.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much.
This has been the It's Going Down podcast. Check itsgoingdown.org for daily updates, columns, action reports, and news. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop to support us and follow us on all social media platforms. IGD, your daily resource for insurgent proletarian life.